Grace and peace from God, our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, we are entering the home stretch. Just 1 week from today is Easter and the culmination of our Lenten journey through the spiritual disciplines. But as we continue this journey, we are still here on Palm Sunday going through the journey with Jesus through spiritual disciplines. We come to one of my personal favorite passages of Scripture, the so-called Carmen Christi, or Song of Christ. Using poetic language borrowed, perhaps, from one of the earliest distinctly Christian hymns, Paul beautifully describes the work of Jesus. When he says, "Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Did you catch it? Even though Jesus was God, he made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And then even further, not just what did he humble himself by becoming man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient. We might also say that he submitted to his Father's will. He obeyed, he submitted to his Father's will as a servant, and even to death. Now, submission means acknowledgement that there is someone else who knows better than us and is more important than us. As parents, I'm sure all of you parents expect your children to submit to you. Why? Because you know better than them. And the same holds true between us and God. God calls on us as a father to submit to his will. And that is why in the Lord's Prayer, we pray, "Thy will be done." He taught us to pray, "Thy will be done," not because so that we remember that it is not our will that is primary, but his will. We must submit to God's will because God knows best. Or in James 4, the apostle writes, "Submit yourselves, therefore, to God." We are called to submit to God. And yet, we really don't. So often, we fight against God's will for us and for our lives. We think we know best. We think that God doesn't really care about ourselves, or God doesn't care about us, the way that we care about ourselves. When we rebel against God's will, we care about ourselves just plain way too much. We care about what is best for us without looking at what is truly best, the way God knows what is best. In Psalm 81, the psalmist says, "My people did not listen to my voice. Israel would not submit to me." How often do we find ourselves in that position, not listening to God's voice, not submitting to God's will for us, for our lives? We elevate our own will to be chief among our concerns. I gotta look out for number one. We think that we know what is best for us, and that is why the "Jesus is my co-pilot" bumper sticker exists. Well, I gotta tell you, if Jesus is your co-pilot, you better pull over because someone's in the wrong seat. Jesus is supposed to be in control, and he is in control. In fact, if Jesus is your co-pilot, it's only because you're in one of those driver Z cars that has a steering wheel on the passenger side, so that the instructor can take over when you mess up. Rejecting God's will and refusing to submit to God places us at odds with God. In Romans 8, Paul says, "The mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's will. Indeed, it cannot." When our minds are set against God and we do not submit to God, we are at odds with Him. And that is where so many of our problems come from, is rebelling against God and against His will for us. So when we are at odds with God and His will for our lives, what are we to do? We look to Jesus. Jesus' whole life is a submission to the will of God. In verse 6, we read that in Philippians 2, verse 6, we read, "Though he was in the form of God, he did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped." Jesus is God. That is where this song begins, is with Jesus as God. "In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God," we read at the beginning of John. And yet, Jesus did not consider that something to be grasped. Instead, he let it go. In verse 7, he made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. We look at Jesus, he is true God, and yet he chooses to put that aside, putting aside the use of his power, though he remains God all along. He puts aside the use of his power and becomes man for us. In 2 Corinthians, Paul writes, "You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, that so that you by his poverty might become rich." Jesus puts aside his Godhead. He puts aside his Godhood so that he might make you rich by his submission to his Father's will. Or again in Galatians 4, "When the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of woman, born under the law to redeem us." Jesus comes and becomes one of us, putting aside what it means to be God for us. And then in verse 8 we read, he was found in human form. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. At our confirmation questioning last night, I had the privilege of asking questions about the creed, and specifically why it is that Jesus has to be a true God and true man to save us from our sins. He has to be a true God so that he can atone for all of our sins, not just one person's, as a simple man could do, but he has to be a true man so that he may die. Because God cannot die, only man is subject to the wages of sin, which is death. And so in John 10, Jesus says, "For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again." Jesus is humble. He submits to his Father's will, not because he must, but because he chooses to. He allows himself to be put to death on the cross in obedience to his Father's will. But that is not the end of the story, because at the proper time, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Everyone acknowledges and knows Jesus as God in the end, whether it is in love or in fear. God has exalted Jesus. He was humble. He submitted to the Father's will, and then the Father exalts him. That's all well and good, but what does it mean for us in our rebellion against God? It means that even when we do not submit to God's will, Christ's submission was to pay for our sins, and Christ covers up our sins by his active obedience to the Father in laying down his life for us. By his perfect obedience to his Father, he made up for our inability to obey the law perfectly. By his willing submission to the indignity of death by crucifixion, he pays the price of the law for our sinful rebellion against God's will. But that is not all. Jesus also submitted to the Father's will that he should die for us. We also submit to the Father's will that we should live for him. How does that happen? By engaging in the spiritual disciplines that we have been discussing all through this season of Lent, starting from Ash Wednesday and culminating a week from today on Easter. But we do not engage in this simply during the season of Lent, but throughout our entire lives. By our repentance, by our fasting, by our prayer, we train ourselves to look beyond our own needs to the righteous demands of God and his will for our lives. These things place God's will above our own. And then by meditation and scripture reading, we learn and understand what God's will really is for our lives. We read in scripture that God would not have us suffer and die, but that he has sent his Son to die and forgive our sins so that we might live according to his will. Giving places our trust in God to provide for all of our needs and serves as a constant reminder that we must submit to his will. But always remember, we submit to God's will not because we save ourselves thereby, but because Christ, by his submission, first saved us, and Christ, by his exaltation, also exalts us. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep and guard your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus our Lord, as we await the coming of our exaltation through Christ our Lord. Amen.